The reading is from Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. Freedom from human regulations through life with Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of the Lord.
So, we continue through our canter through Colossians. You'd be pleased to know I'm not going to make a horse joke or pun. I'm going to break that cycle of Clive and Ben. But for me, this is the first talk I've ever done on the letter of the epistles. So I'm very thankful that Clive and Ben have led the way here, because this is tough. They kept to the last 2 weeks. Paul's letter for the Colossians, it's really dense. There's so much to it. And as Ben said to me on the way out last week, just pick a few key points. So quick recap. Ben spoke a couple of weeks ago about the Son is the image of the invisible God. Everything points to Jesus. Then Clive spoke last week about God choosing to reveal the Son to the Gentiles. These glorious riches and mystery. Jesus is for all. And just to go back into the context of the Colossian church, there were many pulls on them in the society they lived. I've been reading around the Colossian church, and we don't know exactly too much what those pulls were, but there were Greek philosophies potentially on the left pulling them, and Jewish adherents to strict rules on the other. There was a proper hodgepodge of religions and spiritual beliefs and practices at the time when this letter was written. So, this is the exam question the Colossian church faced. how to navigate this society as believers and disciples of Jesus Christ, where false teachers were denigrating the deity of Jesus. So I was thinking about even the context at the time. This is approximately written 20 to 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. The church was in its infancy. It was trying to find its way. FYI, there were no bishops. There was no books on theology you could get. Google wasn't invented. No Church of England, no General Synod, and no PCCs. Good or bad there. So they were absolutely trying to find their way, and Paul reaches out to them. So before I start on verse 6, just want to go back to verse 5. Because he moves on from the guidance and challenge of the initial Colossians in chapter 2. And this week, Paul's letter moves on to describe the spiritual fullness in Christ and the freedom that we have in him. In verse 5, Paul says, I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm you are in your faith. So we know the Colossian church were disciplined and firm in their faith. Although I think Paul wants to ensure that the discipline and faith were in Jesus and Jesus only. And this is where we pick up Paul this morning. So in verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ, Jesus Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thank you for the reading, Alex, and I love the way she really spoke the words overflowing with thankfulness. You can't help but read that and actually speak it how it is. You could write a sermon itself on that one verse. There's so much in it. So Paul is stating to Colossian church, he knows that it's a past tense. They have received Jesus. Question is now how to continue your lives in him. And there were three points. Being rooted in him. The metaphor of a plant. Built up. The metaphor changes to a building. And overflowing with thankfulness. The metaphor of water overflowing. I was thinking, how did Paul know Jesus so well? Because these three verbs are drawn directly from Jesus' teaching. I've not got a degree in theology. I do read a bit. I didn't ask a friend too much. I was confused where to go this one. So the best thing, I asked Ben on the way out last week. Go to Ben is the answer, followed by Wikipedia. And Ben said, Paul actually spent time with Luke, probably conveying the stories. And that also, Paul speaks through his letters that the gospel was revealed to him. So a few examples. Luke 8, the parable of the sower. Jesus' teaching of the seed taking root in good soil. We need to be rooted in Christ. In Luke 6, the wise and foolish builders. The wise builder dug down deep and laid foundations on rock. The flood comes and the water could not shake it. We need to build our foundations on Christ. Luke 17, the Samaritan leper. Out of the 10 who were healed by Jesus, the Samaritan, the foreigner, the outsider, was the only one to return to give Jesus and give thanks. He was overflowing with thankfulness, praising God and falling at the feet of Jesus and thanking him. Paul directly draws from Jesus and says, look to him in how you live your lives. Look to what he taught, and this will strengthen your faith. In simple terms, it's all about Jesus. So in the single verse, Paul gives the Colossian church focus on what they need and what they need to do. And I think for today, in 2022, there is no difference. We need to continue to be rooted, built up in him, and overflowing with thankfulness. So then we go move on, and we understand why Paul was so keen on buttressing and reinforcing the Colossians' faith. Because he said the risk was they could be taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human forces of this world rather on Christ. And this is the issue right here. The church was finding their way in their theology and how to live it out in a society that had many pulls and pushes on them. Paul uses the phrase deceptive philosophy. For me, I understand Paul is saying that this philosophy is human in essence, and at its core it is hollow. Human in essence and hollow at its core. While there is historical, technological and economic chasm between their society and ours, I do think we face similar challenges. And we can look through the 2022 lens, making Paul's letter not just a historical piece of theology, but a real to use today in how we focus on Jesus as our strength and guide. David Wallace said, "It's not if we worship, it is what we worship. We are hardwired to worship. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshipping. Everybody worships. If you worship money and things, if they were your tap real meaning in life, you will never have enough. If you worship power, you will feel weak and afraid, and you will need ever more power over others to keep the fear at bay. If you worship your body and beauty, you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you. If you worship your intellect, even seen as smart, you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out." Wallace says, "They worship these things and they will eat you alive." Interesting, these four areas, it's all about the individual. It's all about what we want to strive. It's our destiny, and it's not necessarily what God wants for us. As Mother Teresa said, "God did not call me to be successful. God called me to be faithful." And I think people are struggling with this today. I've never come to the youth cafe, so I can't speak at first hand, but I know many of the young people will be, having worked with young people for many years, will be struggling with those four areas and how they're taking a step into adult life and how those pressures are pulling on them. And it's the crisis for young people today and how they're struggling with that in their mental health and well-being. It is very real to us today, just as the Colossal Church. Paul is saying, don't get caught captive by these human traditions. Rather on Christ. Don't get drawn into these. But here's the health warning. The danger is then that we remove ourselves from the world. As Christians, we are not called to escape the world, but to obey God within it. If the church is removed, it becomes insular. Society is bad. The church becomes more withdrawn. And dangerously, we become a club. You're either in or you're out. This is bad, very, very bad. At the same time, we need to be distinct from the world in how we live and behave. Being rooted, built up, and overflowing with thankfulness. And I took a colleague to an event last week, and we had a 2-hour drive together. And she told me of a time where she moved from the north of England to the south of England to get away from an abusive relationship. And she felt the need to go to church. And she went 3 times. First 2 times, no one spoke to her. on the third time, she sat down, someone did speak to her, and they turned and said, "That's not your seat." She walked out. She hasn't been to church for 10 years. Is that overflowing with thankfulness? Is that what the church should be? There's a challenge to us all there. We are called to be salt and light in the world. We need to be in the world, in our society, in our work and relationships, living out the kingdom of God. It's God's path for us. So I was thinking about this path and the track in front of us. And many years ago, when my first car was an old Land Rover, and I used to go off-roading all over Wales. Loved it. And you drive down the track, and you've probably seen in those country roads, there's ruts. And we used to look out for the ruts in the track. We needed to travel the track. We had to get to the location. There's no other option. It was how we did it. And the danger was getting caught in the rut. If you got your four wheels in the rut, it was hard to get out. The rut steered the wrong way. Sometimes to get out of the rut, I needed the help of another Land Rover to pull me out. The key was to watch out for the ruts while traveling on the track. Being rooted, built up, and thankful in Christ reduces the risk of us falling into that rut. And if we do pull in, we need each other to pull us out. In the final part of today's passage, Paul brings it all together. Paul says to the church, there is freedom in all this. You don't have to be being fearful of being caught captive in the world, which in practical living at the time was being submissive to the Jewish rules of purity. In verse 20, since you died with Christ to the elemental forces of the world, why, as though you still belong to this world, do you submit to its rules? The Pharisees demonstrated their separatedness from the world, their keeping with rules. Paul is stating that this separatedness only has appearance of wisdom and does not really have any practical value in changing behaviour. He is also saying this is not the separateness he wants the church to be. Rules don't change behaviour. They just condition us to get past the rules. Just think of a speed camera and then people speeding past them afterwards. Paul's teaching is parallel to the teaching of Jesus. The Pharisees focus on human tradition, hollow at its core and ignoring God's command. They don't change the person within. This comes through Jesus. It also doesn't mean that we don't follow the rules of society. Being in society, we need to obey them. I'm certainly not encouraging you to drive 100 mile an hour home. Although we need to stand up in confidence and be open to discuss and challenge when we are not confident that things in society are rooted in Christ. And that takes us to be courageous. That takes us prepared to have difficult conversations because we can't be insular and a bubble at St. Luke's Church. So for us today, there is freedom. Freedom from outward-looking appearances through being rooted, built up, and thankful in Christ. It means we don't need to be fearful of the ruts of day-to-day life. Since we have died with Christ, we have been set free from the bondage of the world that can set us captive. Again, this does not mean we will not fall in the ruts, but I think we're all aware of the ruts of the day-to-day life that we fall into, that are pulling us away from the path that God has called us on. So, in summary, we are called to be rooted, built up, and overflowing with thankfulness with Christ. Because of this, we are alive with Christ. Look to the teaching of Jesus to guide us in the spirit of absolute thankfulness for what he has done for us. In turn, the outward expression and behaviour of thankfulness is a powerful witness to others. How are you demonstrating that you are overflowing with thankfulness? Mind the ruts, not the gap. We are called to be in the world, not to escape it, although obey God within it. Walk in God's path that recognises the rut, although be mindful not to fall into them. Being in the world, following God's path, requires us to talk, question, be open, and engage in society, although all times being rooted and built up in Jesus. And if in doubt, just turn back to the Gospels. Paul did, and this shaped the church for the next 2,000 years. Finally, as Christians, we don't have to fear stepping into the world, as Paul states in verse 10. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, just pray that we are continually rooted, built up, and just overflowing with thankfulness for you. Give us the strength. Strengthen us to go into the world. Be courageous for you. And then we have the freedom in you. Amen.